Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. Arizona authorities have launched an urgent manhunt for 66-year-old Ronald Lee Servud, who allegedly threatened to shoot Donald Trump during his upcoming visit to the southern border in Cochise County, Arizona. Servud is also wanted on several other charges, including DUI, failure to appear in court, failure to register as a sex offender, and felony hit and run. This follows, of course, the attempted shooting of Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania. Trump is speaking outside right now. It's an outdoor event in Cochise County, Arizona. We're going to dip in here and take a listen to what the president's saying. He's down at the southern border. He's speaking about the open borders. Apparently, Kamala Harris is going to focus on immigration tonight. I can't imagine how, given this atrocious record of the border. But let's jump in here. This is the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Let's jump in here and hear what President Trump has to say.
That they may have wanted to do that as quickly.
It looks like they've jumped out here in Fox News. So we'll keep monitoring this for you. We're hoping he's going to take some questions, and we'll bring that to you live. But it looks like they've cut away from him and talking about the manhunt right now. This guy, who looks like a real piece of work. This, according to the Cochise County Sheriff's Office. You know, this is one of the things about last night that infuriated me personally was listening to Oprah Winfrey lecture us about how hard it is in America. You know, Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire. Okay, she's a billionaire with a B. And much like how the Obamas came out and talked about how hard it is in America, I just kept thinking about, you know, all the houses that Oprah Winfrey owns, the land, the company she's invested in, and she goes on and lectures us. And she also takes shots at Donald Trump last night. And she talks about how she's been on the receiving end of all of the different isms in this country. You know what I mean? All the different isms. Her net worth, just so you know, is $2.7 billion with a B. $2.7 billion with a B. But here's Oprah last night playing up the, you know, a woe is me card, cut number 12.
From the Redwood Forest. Love those redwoods. To the Gulf Stream waters, I've seen racism and sexism and income inequality and division. I've not only seen it, at times I've been on the receiving end of it.
I've been on the receiving end of it. So what does that tell you about America? The fact that Oprah's worth $2.7 billion. If America was such a racist, horrible country, that we're at racist, sexist, misogynistic country that everybody on the left thinks, how did Oprah get $2.7 billion of net worth? It's because America is the land of opportunity and possibilities. And, you know, she used to be friends with Trump, too. In fact, Trump was on her show. Trump was on her show. We have a flashback for you of this is cue up cut 15. This is back in 1988, talking about countries ripping America off on trade. And even Oprah suggested that Trump may run for president someday. And you could argue that Donald Trump helped Oprah get to where she is. Cut 15.
Last year, criticizing U.S. foreign policy. What would you do differently, Donald?
I'd make our allies, forgetting about the enemies. The enemies you can't talk to so easily. I'd make our allies pay their fair share. We're a debtor nation. Something's going to happen over the next number of years with this country because you can't keep going on losing $200 billion. And yet we let Japan come in and dump everything right into our markets and everything. It's not free trade. If you ever go to Japan right now and try to sell something, forget about it, Oprah. Just forget about it. It's almost impossible. They don't have laws against it. They just make it impossible. They come over here, they sell their cars, their VCRs, they knock the hell out of our companies. And, hey, I have tremendous respect for the Japanese people. I mean, you can respect somebody that's beating the hell out of you, but they are beating the hell out of this country. Kuwait, they live like kings. The poorest person in Kuwait, they live like kings. And yet they're not paying. We make it possible for them to sell their oil. Why aren't they paying us 25% of what they're making? It's a joke.
This sounds like political presidential talk to me, and I know people have talked to you about whether or not you want to run. Would you ever?
Probably not, but I do get tired of seeing the country ripped off.
Why would you not?
I just don't think I really have the inclination to do it. I love what I'm doing. I really like it.
Also,
it
doesn't pay as well.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I just probably wouldn't do it, Oprah. I probably wouldn't, but I do get tired of seeing what's happening with this country. And if it got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally, because I really am tired of seeing what's happening with this country, how we're really making other people live like kings, and we're not.
That's from 1988, and that's something, and you could tell it was not an ambition for him. He ran out of frustration. All right, I have my first Democrat on the show.
Yeah, hey.
From the Democrat National Convention. I want to welcome John Tien. Am I saying that correctly?
Yeah, you're saying it correctly.
Deputy Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security and a West Point graduate.
Well, former. I was in the Biden-Harris administration 2021, 2022.
Okay, so former Deputy Secretary. All right, mm-hmm. Well, good for you. You got out.
Yeah.
And West Point graduate?
West Point graduate.
Thank you for your service.
Class of 1987. Yeah, our
all
country
right.
was strengthened. That was our motto.
Well, you know, you're a friend of David Urban, so mm-hmm. there you go. Now, we're going to keep it civil, because I'm a nice guy. You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
And you're the first Democrat to be brave enough to come on my show. So this is I'm honored.
Well, look, hey, Rich, I give you credit. You're here in Demopalooza. Like, you know, you're inside the big tent. We open the tent to everybody. We're the party of hope and joy and inclusion. You know that.
Well, I appreciate that. Is this your water? I don't want to take
your water.
That's my water. Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
But you know what? I would drink from it.
That's how close. That's how bonded.
That's how inclusive I am.
That's how we are. I love it. Now, you listen, I got to ask. I mean, Trump is at the border right now, and he's mm-hmm. talking about the border crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the Department of Homeland Security. One could argue, guys didn't exactly do the best job. I'm not saying you personally. I don't want to put this all on you. But mm-hmm. We have a bit of a crisis down at our southern border right now. Would you agree?
You know what? What I wish President Trump would be doing right now is taking a look at the fact that there aren't that many people, illegal migrants, trying to come across the border right now. The numbers, and they're out there, right? Customs and Border Protection will tell them that the numbers are the lowest since before President Biden came into office.
Well, those are the ones they're counting.
3.5 years. No, those are the numbers. This is how the U.S. Customs Border Protection is run by mostly 99% great civil servants, many of them who I know well, and they produce. There's guys who are on the border. They got their sidearms. They got their 9mm. They got their bulletproof vests. They're driving in, armored vehicles when they need to. And I will tell you what, they have a bunch of guys in the back office who produce the statistics and count the people coming across. The numbers are the lowest. If the, you know, Rich, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, look how high the numbers are. And then the next day when the numbers come out from the same exact office of statistics, that's a little wonky, sorry, but I'm a Democrat, right?
So well,
I like policy. Right?
Okay, that's,
and
that's,
I,
that's
and
fair.
And I like wonky statistics. Is that same office producer says the numbers are the lowest they've been in 3.5 years. And by the way, you know.
You have Democrat Senator John Fetterman, Democrat, saying that you have the population of Pittsburgh crossing into this country illegally every single day. Are you saying he's wrong?
I'm saying, you know, what Senator Fetterman is saying is he knows what's happening in Pittsburgh. So I'm going to defer over to him.
No, he's saying that's the people crossing the border every day.
Yeah. What I would say to this is President Trump, when President Trump was in office, the numbers were in 2019 were higher than at any time in the first couple of months during the Biden administration. So apples to apples.
Wait, what year was that?
2019.
Well, it just got there. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, they were building the wall. Why did Biden undo so many of those executive actions, like remain in Mexico, for example?
Well, 2019, let's be fair.
Right.
Trump had been in office for 3 months, so for 3 years. So all of the different policies he supposedly had in pre-COVID, like you got to take COVID out. You know, Title 42, all those, the Health Act that says you can't come in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that pretty much stopped everything. What would have happened whenever? What was your question?
Why would Biden take away remain in Mexico, for example? A policy where if you want to seek asylum in the United States, you have to remain in Mexico. That sounds like good policy. Why would he undo that?
Effectively, we ended up doing much of that same thing, remain in Mexico with AMLO. And, the other thing we should be talking about here is the government of Mexico has been incredibly cooperative over the last 3.5 years with the Biden-Harris administration. And I think really going forward, they will be again. They are a great ally. And, you know, it just kills me every time I hear President Trump speaking poorly about this great ally to our south, who's one of our biggest trading partners.
Well, he's saying they need to step up and do more to stop drugs coming to this country. You'd probably agree with that, right?
They are doing a ton of work to go against counter-cartels. Look what the Homeland Security investigation, everybody always wants to talk about ICE and the removals, mm-hmm. and that's certainly one of their prescribed duties. But the other big prescribed duty, they have HSI, Homeland Security Investigation. And this is essentially the organization that took down, with the cooperation of the Mexican government and the Mexican civil and law enforcement authorities, they took down those two leaders from the Sinaloa cartel. And by the way, the numbers on fentanyl overdoses dropped for the first time in 3 years over the last 60 days.
The Washington Post had an article about how fentanyl comes to this country. It's produced in China, brought to Mexico. The cartels assemble it. Then they go into Los Angeles. They stay in B&Bs, and then they flood our streets with fentanyl. I mean, you're not sitting here, Mr. Secretary, and saying that we don't have a fentanyl crisis in this country, are you?
Hey, by the way, I'm former deputy secretary.
Well, I can call you that out of respect.
I appreciate the honorific. I appreciate it. I'm always a Colonel Armour retired after 24 years in the Army and three combat tours.
You have my respect.
I'll take that one.
I appreciate that. Two combat tours?
Three combat tours.
Unlike Tim Walz, you saw combat.
Operation Desert Storm. Operation Desert Storm. Operation Desert Storm. And two OIF tours.
You know, thank you.
I'll answer the question on fentanyl. Since you brought up Governor Tim Walz, Mass Sergeant retired Tim Walz, here's what I will tell you. And I've been talking to a lot of folks and out in the veterans community and, you know, whatever veterans are out there. Number one, thank you for your service.
Whether absolutely.
You went in combat or didn't go into combat. We all know if you were a veteran, I mean, if you were active duty, Army, Marine, National Guard, whatever, in that time period that the Trump Vance ticket wants to keep talking about, 2003 to 2005 or so, right when he decided to retire, we didn't know what any of our units were doing. In 2004 was my first Iraq tour. President George W. Bush, who I was a director for in the National Security Council as a civil servant, part of the civil service that Schedule F and Part of 2025 wants to take down, that was my job at the time. I was eventually became a director of the NSC for the Bush administration, George W. Bush. And the president went on, who I love and respect, President George W. Bush, he said, mission accomplished. Remember that? He went out on the aircraft carrier and said, we're done. And what that effectively told the rest of us was, okay, we'll stand down. We'll go into, you know, tabletop exercises and we'll train and go to tank gunneries and things of that nature. And so the National Guard unit that Governor Tim Walz was in, that he was the command sergeant major for, retired as a master sergeant, right? They didn't know what they were going to do, right? There were warning orders, what was on the patch
That's
chart.
Not what his guys are saying.
That was
though.
All new. Look.
I mean, the guys who serve them said that
some of those
knew.
Guys are saying, some of the other guys are saying, we didn't know what was going to happen. I can go back. I mean, I can tell you, this is firsthand knowledge. I was not in the National Guard. I was active duty. And we were saying, are we done? I was in the 1st Armored Division. And they were the ones who were really had taken control of Baghdad Airport, Karbala, and some other places in Iraq and central Iraq. And effectively, they were told, okay, you're going home. They had been in country for about a year. I was actually training, getting ready to go forward. I was at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, getting ready to take over my command, Task Force 237 Armor, or Iron Dukes, to any Iron Dukes out there. And then they said, okay, you'll meet the unit in Germany when they come home. Then I get this call from Colonel Pete Mansour, who's now at Ohio State University. Big West Pointer, a lot smarter than me. For sure a lot smarter than Dave Urban.
A lot smarter than me, that's for sure.
And he said, hey, John, you got to get over here because guess what? We just got extended indefinitely. We don't know what's going on. And, you know, Muqtada is out, or, you know, this is the Shia are kind of rebelling here. And we're going to what happened? We stayed there for another, you know, 10 plus years. And to some extent, we still have some forward deployed forces. So we didn't, anybody who was in the active Army National Guard didn't know what was going to be happening. And I would guarantee you that the folks in that National Guard unit didn't know if they were going or coming. And really, you know, where are we coming off? And this is not you, Rich, or MAGA, or anybody else, literally anybody else who's saying, the guy signed up at 17 years old. He had to ask his father for permission. He served for 20 years. And then what happens? 9/11. Now, a lot of folks could have said, oh, look, I did my 20 years. I'm done. I'm moving on. A lot of people did that. What did he do? He reenlisted. You got to give the guy credit. No one's giving the guy credit.
No one's taking that away from him.
Okay.
I think it's more about the fact that he said, you know, weapons of war, which I held in war, should be banned in our streets. I don't like when people try to take away my liberty or my freedom by using something that's not true. You know what I mean? If he had been in combat and said that, okay. But he wasn't, and that's what bothers me. But listen, I don't want – let me ask you this. As
he
a colonel –
he deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom.
He went to Italy and ate pasta. Look, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, the pasta is good there.
You know what?
He got lucky.
Yeah, look, I like pasta too. You know, my wife's gluten free, so I can never.
You poor son of a.
The only time I can get gluten is when I go on travel. I'm dying to get out of this convention center so I can go find some Italian beef. So if you know of any Italian beef,
actually, my producer Matt DeSantis just said, "Where'd you go, Portillo's?" Oh, Portillo's. He loved it.
That's supposed to be good.
He loved it. So, Colonel, you got it. The withdrawal from Afghanistan 3 years now. Kamala Harris said she was the last person in the room. Mm-hmm. I mean that is a stain on this administration. No question about it. The withdrawal from Afghanistan. Would you agree on that? That was a disaster.
Okay, let me remind you something about Rich, and you've probably looked in my bio.
Yes.
I was the director for Iraq in the George W. Bush administration.
Yes.
Then President Obama kept me on to be the senior director for Afghanistan and Pakistan. I know the Afghanistan-Pakistan policy well. And when President Trump went on and spoke to, and effectively had another West Pointer. We're everywhere. Man.
You guys are everywhere. All my Navy friends listening right now are cringing. There's a lot of people cringing just because you're a Democrat. But no, I'm happy you're on the show. I appreciate it.
You know, those guys just need, and they need to read more in the Navy.
Do you go to the Army Navy games a lot? Do you do that?
I do.
Yeah.
And we always win when I go. So, you know. When Secretary of State Pompeo, West Point class of 86, same one as Dave Urban, and I love those guys, but God, there's a lot of 86 guys, I don't know what they did, but they like must have doubled their numbers or something. But Secretary of State Pompeo met with the head of the Taliban and essentially negotiated the peace. Uh-huh. And so when President Biden came in, you know, this is something we should be celebrating across lines. Like, you know, it used to be this saying. You're old enough to remember this, you know, politics stops at the water's edge, right? Mm-hmm. And Afghanistan should have been one of those issues where President Trump said, I'm a Mullah Baradar. That was the guy. There's this famous picture of Secretary of State Pompeo standing next to Mullah Baradar, about as close as you and I are standing now, and or sitting now. And it's essentially said, we're going to pull out of Afghanistan. Here's the deal. Don't attack us, and we'll get out of here. And then when President Biden came in, he effectively said, I agree with President Trump. He goes, this is a forever war. We need to get out. It's costing us blood, treasure. We've given 20 years of democracy, essentially, to Afghanistan. And, you know, we believe that the government of Afghanistan is going to be, and this is both Republicans and Democrats gave hundreds of billions of dollars over to Afghanistan, built up a force of 325,000 government of Afghanistan national security forces. And by the way, the intelligence community were pretty in lockstep with this, believed that it was at least another year to 2 years, and it would be more warlords than it would be the Taliban. As it ended up being, the Taliban were able to roll the government of Afghanistan and the national security forces. And to this day, you know, I still look back. I was in the Situation Room when we found out that we had lost. Sorry, I got to pause here. Sorry, because when we lost our 13 service members, right? 11 Marines, one soldier, and one sailor. And by the way, we never talk about 100 Afghan national or civilians when they left. So really, we should be celebrating the fact that this was effectively a bipartisan decision to leave Afghanistan.
Well, I agree with ending the war. I think that was the right move. It was the manner in which we left that is the problem. And, you know, the questions around, did the administration have a sniper in their sights that could have taken out that terrorist at Abbey Gate? Mm-hmm. And those 13 service members would be alive today. Mm-hmm. Knowing the intelligence had changed, should we have left all of our stuff there? I mean, they were parading around the streets with our stuff. That's got to burn a guy like you who spent his life serving this country for multiple administrations, bipartisan, you know.
Again, to any of my fellow veterans out there, to anybody who's been outside the wire, outside of Ford operating base, like I was with 1,100 of my great soldier sailors, airmen, and Marines in Iraq, especially Talaf and Ramadi in 607. There's a lot of friction on the battlefield, mm-hmm. right? And I saw, look, I was Department of Homeland Security, so I was responsible for Operation Allies Rescue, Refuge, and then Operation Allies Welcome. I wasn't in charge. It was obviously a whole of government effort, but DHS had the lead on that. And this was getting these fellow patriots, effectively, interpreters and others who support us in the embassy and at Bagram and at Kandahar, but Afghans, effectively, out of the country as safely and as securely and as responsible way as possible. And so I'm not going to sit here and second-guess the Department of Defense. It was a really difficult mission. We asked them to do a lot. We said you have 15 days to get folks out there. and they did it. It was really impressive. And that's, we should be celebrating that. We should be celebrating the fact that we got civilian aircraft came in. We should be celebrating the fact that Transcom, who doesn't get a lot of love, right, you know, because they're not CENTCOM or PAYCOM or something like that. They don't get a lot of love. They did a great job in pulling out 120,000 Afghan civilians in who are living better lives. And the probably some of the best, better than me, probably, citizens of our local communities are going to be these Afghans who are over here in the United States of America.
Well, I agree with that point. But, you know, I sat down with some of the Gold Star families at the Republican National Convention. You know, some of them said they've still not even gotten a call from President Biden to, you know, say, I'm sorry for your loss. I mean, that's very sad, you know, to think that they don't did not get that courtesy.
The same. These are some of the same Gold Star families in general. And thanks for talking about the Gold Star families that President Trump has disrespected multiple times.
Well, no, that you're not doing that on me, are you?
Well,
come
no,
on, with the
okay.
The,
well,
debunked,
all right. Then we'll just talk about suckers and losers.
Do you want? To he
talk
didn't
about,
say that.
You want to talk about? Well,
are we still
General,
going with that
General
now?
John Kelly.
Come on,
General John Kelly.
Come on.
Well, okay,
26 people there said that that's not true.
Well, let's do these facts, General. Okay, General
we gotta
Kelly.
You got to wrap Madison. It. All right, we got to wrap it. All right, good. That's okay. We'll wrap.
General
it,
John Kelly. General John Kelly, General H.R. McMaster.
You guys got to stop
General
with
Mattis, and you know, and really, look, I mean, oh, by the way, McMaster, another West Pointer.
Shout out
to my
West
guys
Point.
In Annapolis.
This has really been a West Point commercial. I hope they've sponsored your appearance here today. Deputy,
right,
former Deputy Secretary John Teen, Colonel, retired United States Army, thank you for your service to our country. This was fun.
Thanks, sir.
I enjoyed having the conversation.
All right, take
and thank
care.
You for being the first and only Democrat to come on my show, the entire DNC.
Well, come on. This is we're the big time party.
You get it. You should just get another medal for this.
Hope and joy. Hope and joy.
I'm very joyful.
All right. Take care.
I appreciate it. All right. We'll come back live from the Democrat National Convention here in Chicago. President Trump is speaking right now about the border, at the border in Cochise County, Arizona. We'll take some of that live for you upon our return. I do want to thank our great friends. Well, I got to thank Mama Zioli for telling me about one of the greatest finds of my life, and that is Dr. Mike Veneria. As you know, my entire family goes to Dr. Mike, who's level of care and commitment to dental excellence is unmatched. If you've been putting off seeing a dentist or getting that complex dental procedure done, I don't want to sound like Mama Zioli, but what are you waiting for? Dr. Mike is the best, and taking care of your teeth is so important to your overall health. Plus, Dr. Mike and his staff make it so easy to have that beautiful, healthy smile. Dr. Mike has been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He also has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. I promise you will not be disappointed with Dr. Mike. If you haven't been to the dentist or you're on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, reach out to Dr. Mike today. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your appointment for free implant consultation for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or visit VeneriaDental.com. That's V-A-N-A-R-I-A. VeneriaDental.com. Dr. Mike Veneria. We're coming right back.
High school football is back.
High school football is back.
And so is the Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show. Join Daryl Dobis, James Bailey, and Matt Dentz. Friday nights 10 till midnight. For a rundown of all the big high school games in the region. And expert analysis. The Friday Night High School Football Scoreboard Show. Friday night at 10. Only on Talk Radio 1210. WPHT, and the Free Odyssey app.
Harry, if you watch any more of those stupid financial shows, I'm filing for divorce.
How am I going to keep up with our retirement accounts?
At JML Financial Group, we want you watching your grandkids playing soccer and sunsets in Hawaii, not the latest rumor of a market crash. Surprisingly, with proper income planning, the stock market shouldn't even be a concern. The money came in every 2 weeks while you worked. It should be the same in your retirement years. Let us show you how. Call JML Financial Group today at 856-925-6674. That's 856-925-6674. Or at jmlfinancialgroup.com. So, when your neighbor's sunbathing in the front yard?
Harry, you're an idiot. Get away from the window.
Keep your eyes focused where they should be, on enjoying your retirement. Securities and investment advisory services offered through Brokers International Financial Services, LLC, member SIPC. Brokers International Financial Services, LLC is not an affiliated company.
Don't miss the education show with Dom Giordano every Sunday morning at 5:30. Find out how you can help your child or grandchild succeed. Sponsored by New Hope Academy.
Tri-County Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Get wholesale club pricing for everyone on the 2024 Jeep Wrangler 4xe. Or choose the 2024 Jeep Compass and lease for as low as $298 per month for 27 months. Go to TriCountyCDJR.com to see our great inventory. We're easy to find off the Limerick exit of 422. Visit TriCountyCDJR.com today for more details and experience the Tri-County difference.
Pastor Brad Lacey here, First Baptist Church, Conshohocken. Join us Saturdays for the great message and be blessed. 5 a.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Wawa has new Southwest flavors. Try them in a burrito, bowl, or quesadilla and build it just how you like it. Gotta have a Wawa.
Philo's got a world of entertainment for you to explore with just one subscription. Sign up today and start watching all the networks you love, like A&E, MTV, Discovery, Lifetime, Hallmark Channel, and so much more. Featuring current seasons of all the best drama, true crime, reality, and family-friendly shows you can't afford to miss. And with up to three streams at once, you'll never have to fight about what to watch. Get started today and unlock our library of over 75,000 movies and shows and save all your favorites with the unlimited DVR. So you can rewatch them anytime, anywhere for up to a year. Philo now includes access to AMC Plus. You can discover your next obsession from its collection of hit originals like Mad Men, The Walking Dead, Killing Eve, Orphan Black, and tons of blockbuster movies. There are no contracts, no commitments, and no hassles. For just $28 a month, Philo's a better way to watch TV. So what are you waiting for? Visit philo.tv and sign up today to start your 7-day free trial. That's philo.tv.
Cioli is live from the DNC in Chicago on Odyssey's number one talk station, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You can put the camera on for me. All right, welcome back. We are live at the Democrat National Convention. Just had my first and only Democrat on the show. That was fun. Nice guy. But I want to welcome to the show, we have a guest right now, and he is somebody that I'm excited to talk to, and he is the former Lieutenant Governor of California, Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, Rich. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on your show.
No, listen, I'm very happy to have you on the show. I got to ask you, I'm trying to understand, you're former Lieutenant Governor of California. Do you still live there, and do you need to have psychiatric services every day to get through the day, or did you get out?
You know what? I actually happen to be a farmer and been a farmer my whole life here in Central California, and I can't pick up my land, Rich, and move my land to another state. If not, we probably would have been gone already, because this state is really gone off the deep end on many levels, and who's been at the top of the government here? Kamala Harris. Pretty simple, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, that's true. And you are the last member of the Republican Party to serve as Lieutenant Governor of California. And you know what? You've got such an impressive background. And you know Kamala Harris. You know what she's done to your state. And you've seen it firsthand. And we're all pretending right now like she has no political background whatsoever. Like she wasn't part of this administration. That she was not a senator from California. I mean, it is remarkable, this gaslighting that we're all witnessing here.
You know, Rich, I've known her for over 20 years. I've served I was a constitutional officer right just next to her. And obviously in Sacramento, her watching San Francisco. And we go out to dinner out here, we get together, and we all chuckle on how can she really pull the wool over the eyes of the American people, especially Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Let me tell you something. It's easy to campaign in California when you're a Democrat, and you can have all these issues that, you know, remove straws from restaurants, ban fracking, ban offshore oil, ban this, ban that, price gouging. We've seen this game. We've seen this for 15, 20 years, and now she wants to take it to the national level, Rich. We're just like in shock. We're in awe that she's even close. But you know what? She's gotten a free pass, a free ride, and I'm hopeful that after this convention, we can find the real Kamala, because this notion of not talking to press, they do that here all the time. That's normal in California. You don't talk to the press, and if you want the press to answer a question from you or you to the press, it's via email. They don't talk to anybody here because they don't have to. The question is can they get away with this on a national basis, on a national level? I don't know. I hope not.
I hope not. And this is a short election window we have, so we have to talk about this. And I just had a guest on, a nice guy, but he's telling me border crossings are down. So I'll ask you. I mean, you're in California. You were the lieutenant governor. How's the border situation down there? Is it really so much better under this administration? Because that's the next thing we're being gaslit to believe by them.
Anybody who would say that, or anybody who would believe that, can really just have something examined, my friend, because the border is wide open. She was appointed the border czar, and the border is wide open here in California. I want to just backtrack a little bit, Rich, because when she was a district attorney of San Francisco, she created a sanctuary city in San Francisco. And in that sanctuary city, she allowed people to create crimes, to allow them to make crimes, and when she was supposed to pick up the phone to call INS, to call ICE, she never did. She never picked up the phone and said, hey, we have an undocumented, we have an illegal alien here who just robbed somebody. We got to get him out of our country. No, she never picked up the phone. And eventually these criminals killed people. They killed triple murders. And I want people to know that, because we saw this with our eyes. And all of a sudden now, I wouldn't be surprised tonight she's going to come out and say she's going to close the border. I wouldn't be surprised, because right now she's in this, she's changing her position like we change our channel on television at nighttime. It's crazy. And people are allowing her to do that. We cannot allow that to happen, because this is important to me. I mean, because I can take it here in California. We're so used to it. I mean, this morning I drove by a gas station, $5.25 for a gallon of gas.
Oof,
boy, that's
brutal.
Joyish. Boy, yeah. that's joy for my family, right? I mean, go try to buy a piece of meat in California. Is that joy? That's not joy for my family. It's
for
our families.
Well, we're allowed to buy meat, because she also said she wanted to ban cheeseburgers. I mean, every position she's taken, you know, I talk about this all the time. I mean, I broadcast out of Philadelphia, Lieutenant Governor, and I've seen it firsthand, you know, where she said she wanted to ban fracking, and she has not walked that back. The campaign's walked that back. We've not heard Kamala Harris say that. So tell us, when she was out there, I mean, she was a green warrior, was she not?
I mean, she is for the New Deal. She's a green warrior. We're going to eliminate plastic straws. We're going to eliminate plastic bags. It's about the environment. It's just ban. And now she wants Pennsylvania, and she's going to go to Pennsylvania and say, you know what? I really was wrong the whole time. You watch. She is going to transform herself in the next. And the question is, are we going to let her? That's the question. Are we going to let? Because let me tell you something, Mike. Last night we had Walsh last night speak, and I stated to you that I'm a farmer. Let me share something with you, Rich. Here, if you wear boots, jeans, a camouflage hat, and you wear a Carhartt jacket, and you hold pigs at the state fair, you do not put tampons in fourth grade boys' breakfast.
Bravo.
He is a fake. He is a huge fake. And Kamala's not far behind. She's going to transform herself, and she's going to say, I'm moderate on this. I'm going to close. She's not. I want people to just look at San Francisco, what she did to San Francisco. California is a mess, and we need to remember, California was governed by socialist latte-loving people in San Francisco. Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown, Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, all San Francisco. Just look at what they've done here. It's a mess.
Able man Maldonado is with me, the former lieutenant governor of California. He knows Kamala Harris's record. You know, I'm so grateful you joined me today, because I agree with you 100%. She's a phony, and she's flipping positions on every policy. And quite frankly, I've had it with the gaslighting. We are being gaslit, just like we were being gaslit with the Biden administration when they were telling us he's fine. There's no cognitive decline. 48 hours before he drops out of the race, he tells us it would take an act of God to get him out of the race. These people must think we are the biggest idiots. You know what I mean? Like, we're not.
Right.
And I'm tired of them insulting our intelligence.
She's been there for 1,309 days. 1,309 days. And tonight, she's going to tell us that on day one, she's going to start to lower the food prices of America. And then she talks about the gouging. Rich, let me tell you what they do on gouging here. They did it to Chevron, and Chevron just left California because they overtaxed Chevron, they overregulated Chevron. Once Chevron had to raise their prices for all the taxes and regulation, then Kamala sued Chevron for price gouging. You know what Chevron said? We're gone. They're gone to Houston 2 weeks ago. It's what they do. So guess what? Since the gouging didn't work in California, last week the governor came out here and said, you know what? Okay, forget about the gouging. We're going to force businesses to stock inventory. So, for example, Chevron, you got to stock a lot of gasoline because we don't want price, because you're gouging our people, but since we can't get you for gouging, we're going to make sure you stockpile fuel. I mean, the government is crazy here in California. Now, I just want people, Rich, and that's why I'm appreciative that you have me on your show. People need to know what they've done here. They're not going to change their stripes. When you got a football coach that passes the ball, he's not going to all of a sudden wake up one morning and run the ball. She has been a liberal diehard for her whole life. She's not going to change.
I'm grateful you joined me today. I hope you'll come back on the show. I loved hearing from you. Where can people follow you so we can get all of your thoughts on politics going forward?
You know what, Rich? I just followed you on X. I'm on X as well. And I'll come on your show whenever you want me for the next 70 days because this is important to me. It's important to my family. And I want America to know what she's done to California. And you do not want her to do to Pennsylvania what she did to California and San Francisco, to be very sincere with you.
Well, I so appreciate it. So I'm following you back on Twitter, and we will have you back. Abel Maldonado. Did I say your name right? Did I nail it or what?
Yes. No, you nailed it. You're good.
I nailed it. Abel Maldonado, former Lieutenant Governor of California. Thank you, my friend. Come back and talk to us again. I appreciate you giving us a warning from California. It's something everybody needs to hear. So thank you.
Appreciate you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, and we'll continue along here live at the Democrat National Convention. Talk to my buddy Guy Benson from Fox News. He's going to stop by. We got a full show for you. We're loaded up, and I do want to tell you we have President Trump's questions that he took in Arizona queued up as well, and we're going to have that conversation as well. All right, so don't go away as we continue along here live from Chicago. Coming right back.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
See, Guy Benson, we got a little Blues Brothers action for
Chicago.
Us. Chicago. Have you had a Chicago hot dog yet?
I don't like them.
Nah.
I lived here for 7 years and I'm just, you know what? No.
Nah.
Same on the pizza. Sorry.
Oh, no. Pizza's not pizza.
It's a casserole.
It's a casserole identifying as a pizza.
That's right. And some of it is good.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a place called Pequod's.
Yeah.
Before you leave, you should go. It's really good. But pizza should be foldable.
Right? Agree. Like,
thin slice, yeah. Fold it in half and eat it this way. Not, you know, this deep and eating it with a fork and knife.
No.
That's just how God intended it.
I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, and it's interesting that we're a city where a casserole can identify as a pizza with a party that thinks that a person can identify as a pizza. So it probably is very, very fitting that we're here.
And I do like, I went to school here. I lived here for 7 years. It's a great place. The weather has been as good as I've ever
great.
Seen in
yeah.
August. So.
It's been fantastic. Yeah. It's nice. You can smell all the protesters. It really like brings out the smell. Guy Benson's with me, of course, host of the Guy Benson Radio Show on Fox News Radio and a frequent guest on Fox News. And he and I were together most recently on Jimmy Fallon's show, Fox News Saturday night.
Yes.
So it's good to see you. Typically, we are competitors. Technically, you're on 3 to 6 p.m., so I appreciate you taking a break from your radio show to come on my show.
Friendly competitors, of course.
Friendly competitors. You were on America's Newsroom this morning. You were talking to Perino about how this administration, they're acting like Kamala Harris was never in the White House. I mean, I've never seen anything like this before, this gaslighting that they're doing to us.
Well, this whole convention, and I think the campaign to come, is going to be kind of built around this story, or at least this perception that they're trying to create, that the Biden-Harris administration, of which she is the Harris, never really happened.
Right. Right?
They are campaigning, and they are framing things at this convention as if the incumbent is Donald Trump, Mm-hmm. And they're the challengers on the outside. And all the things that are bad in the country are Trump's fault. And they're going to come in and they're going to fix it, like the border
right.
and the high prices. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, you're in charge.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in charge for 4 years. And she's been there for all of it by your own admission. She was the co-pilot for this stuff. She was the tie-breaking vote
mm-hmm.
for a lot of the inflation. And they're just kind of trying to elide all of it and run as the challengers, even though they're the incumbent party. It is remarkable.
And of course, they're getting a pass from most of the people in the media, not Fox News, of course, but they're giving them a pass on this. And it's either, which is it? Is Kamala Harris Veep, and she was just isolated to the Eisenhower Executive Office building for the last 3.5 years, or was she part of this administration?
Well,
either way, it's terrible for her.
They put her in charge of the border, which they now claim they didn't, but they did.
They're also now claiming border crossings are down. I had a surrogate on from the campaign. They're claiming that.
Well, they've had 10 million of them, okay? 10 million. It's hard not to go down from that number. And they did a few things that they said they couldn't do until they finally did it right before an election.
Right.
Yeah. Subtle.
Right.
But 10 million of them, and she was put in charge of that, so you can't just say she did nothing. And then also, even if she did camp out in the EEOB or at the Naval Observatory the whole time and went around and had those weird moments with school children and talked about Venn diagrams and school buses and coconut mm-hmm. trees. If that's all she did, she came back to the U.S. Senate 32 times to break ties, 50-50 ties. And on two of them, they were for huge bills to spend tons of money that fueled inflation, one of them in particular. Their own economists were saying, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. It's going to be really bad on inflation. And they said, middle finger, we're doing it. There's no inflation. Oh, it's here. It'll be transitory. And now it's like, we'll fix it with price controls. And Donald Trump will raise prices. It's like, it is absolutely shameless. But I will say, at least up to this point, it's working, right? They have this wave of relief across the Democratic Party and the media, because that's the same, that they no longer have to prop up Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. And so they're super energized here. They never really liked her. I mean, you talk in D.C.
Right.
to Democrats, like, they all tell you, unimpressive, not serious, not the future of the party. And then it's like, surprise, she has to be. And so flip the light switch on, and boy, I mean, they are telling us how joyous they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel, for the first time in a long time, like they can win this election, and they can.
Yeah, you know, they can. You're right, and that's what's scary, is that this is a lot closer than it certainly would have been if Joe Biden had remained. And so that enthusiasm...
I think that was over. I think that election would have been over.
Oh, yeah, in a heartbeat. Trump would have won in an electoral landslide.
At least, like, by today's standards.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, not Reagan standards, but by today's standards of what would count for a landslide. But, and to your point, if they keep trying to hide her record or her as the willing accomplice of this administration, and they keep painting Trump as the bad guy who's going to take away all your rights and freedoms, and they run this Hollywood-style campaign, we only have, less than 30 days until early voting begins.
That's right. They're
really trying to run out the clock here. I guess the question is, can she get through a debate with Donald Trump without talking policy? Can she avoid the media for the next month and a half without talking policy, getting really substantive questions?
I think she can largely but not completely avoid it. And the other thing I'll say about the debates, because it's September 10th, it's mm-hmm. ABC, and I guess there's another one later on NBC.
Well, she won't do the Fox News one.
She won't do Fox.
Shocking.
Yeah, yep. So, look, Trump won his debate against Joe Biden in June by default. Joe Biden just collapsed intellectually and cognitively, and it was a setup to get him out.
Yeah.
Whether you believe that or not, and I think there's probably truth to it, just by being there and being aware of his surroundings and able to talk, Trump won that debate,
mm-hmm.
right? And he had a few particularly good moments where he was able to argue on policy and substance, but also highlight a huge flub by Biden. And so he won. But that is, this is the point I'm getting around to, that was, June 27th, the only general election debate Donald Trump has ever won, based on the polling. He lost all three to Hillary. He lost both to Biden last time in 2020. I think a lot of his supporters overestimate his ability as a debater in a general. In a Republican stage with that type of base audience, he's very good. It's different when you're talking to the whole country and trying to persuade these middle voters. And Kamala Harris, if you think back to 2020, I think Mike Pence beat her, and I think the polls show that he narrowly beat her, but she was fine. Like, she did not have an embarrassing debate performance. So I think the idea, like, oh, all she can do is, I think she will prepare like crazy for that debate. And I think if Trump does not seriously game plan for that, I think that he could be setting himself up for an assist to her, because she's got a pretty low bar in some ways.
He does need to prepare for this debate, because we saw how she savaged Joe Biden in the debate in 2020. You remember, I was that girl, Joe, little girl on the school bus. I mean, she single-handedly worked to paint Joe Biden as an absolute racist in that debate. So she's savage in that sense. So, yeah, he's got to be prepared for that, no question about it. And you know, Guy Benson, they are going to try to get him into a position where he can come across extremely unlikable
belligerent.
To women vote. Right, yep. That's what they're going to try. That's the trap they're going to set for him. He's got to anticipate that. He really needs a good debate coach. Now, I helped him in the primaries, but not the general. So I can't take any credit for him losing in a general election debate, but he's got to take that seriously, because that's what they're hoping for, is that they can paint him as an unlikable guy with women voters in the suburbs who are on the fence. That's going to be their strategy.
For sure. And I think what's important for him to know, backwards and forwards, if he can commit himself to getting into these details, I mean, she has presented the case against herself in her own words when she ran for president last time. And even some of the new stuff that she's saying, it's really wild out there stuff. But especially last time, I mean, I can chapter and verse do it, because I've been watching these clips and writing about them and playing them on my show, and I know you've been talking about this stuff. Trump needs to, the team around him, they need to figure out, okay, what are the most toxic elements of things that she has said, direct quotes, and then challenge her on them. And bring those to a large debate audience, many of whom don't really know that much about Kamala Harris. And when the news media goes into their fact-check moment, you at least force the conversation onto the terrain of the things that she has said, things that have come out
like
of her
ban fracking, for example.
Banning
you
fracking.
You said you wanted to ban fracking, right, and that would destroy jobs in Pennsylvania and America's energy independence.
Right.
Why did you say that? Because, you know, they're acting like she's reverse position on that, but she hasn't said anything on that.
And even if she's... Okay, because they put out some, like, statement. Like,
yeah.
Oh, she doesn't believe it anymore. Even if she comes out and says, I don't believe it anymore... The clips of her emphatically...
Yeah, day one. I will absolutely ban it. I will ban it. Yeah.
And it's horrible and poisoning neighborhoods and all this stuff. She believed it. She went on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, and she did this slow jam the news where she talked about getting rid of... She said it repeatedly on national television.
Mm-hmm.
She believes it. And just saying, here's a sentence to the New York Times, print this, this is her new position, they're doing that on everything.
Everything, yeah.
It is wild,
yeah,
with no explanation whatsoever on any of it from her. And the one time they asked her to explain her new economic policy, which is price controls and this crazy goosing demand for housing with a massive giveaway on, you know, what, assistance for down payments or something, someone asked, okay, you said you're going to do this stuff, but they're saying it could cost $1.5 trillion, just that. Forget all the other stuff, Green New Deal, socialized healthcare, all of it. How are you going to pay for that? And she gave this one-minute word salad answer where she said return on investment four times.
Right.
Meant nothing.
Never answered the question.
No. And then she came around to it saying it'll pay for itself. That was her answer. That was her answer. And it is laughable. It's a laughable response. Never believe a politician when they say that. Nothing is free. And that was her first, her only foray into any substance at all in a month.
Uh-huh.
And she's right. And, like, I've been asking questions. I've had, you know, these Democrats on the show. And I just want to say, you know, it wouldn't kill you. You're allowed to just, I know you want her to win, and I know you're whatever. It wouldn't kill you to say, yes, she should do interviews. She should have done more than she has, and she should do a lot of them now because voters...
But what do they say? Because they're not coming to my show, really. So what are they saying that she's going to? Because I keep hearing that, right? Well, eventually, she's going to sit down with the media.
Yeah,
and...
so she's going to. The one I got today was she's doing a more important interview with the American people.
Oh, my goodness. Great. You know what? It's more believable at Chicago Pizza's Pizza. Guy Benson, thanks for coming on the show, buddy. It's good
thanks
to see you in person.
Me.
I appreciate it very much. All right, we're coming back. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk for you. Phil Kirpin's going to stop by, and Trump just answered some questions down in Arizona. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210. WPHT.
and on the Free Odyssey app.